Okay, this morning Pastor John contacted my mother, Evelyn Wells, and asked if she would speak this morning. And before she gets up, I kind of got a little testimony. Hopefully I can get through this. But last summer, my mother had a stroke, and she struggled for a couple of months. And at one point during there, it looked pretty bad. I mean, it looked like she wasn't really all there functioning, didn't look like. And it was really tough. And then one morning, I was watching her, and I kind of, by anger, kind of come over me, and I felt the Holy Spirit tell me something. So I turned and I prophesied to her. I told her, and I felt like this is what the Holy Spirit was telling me to tell her. I told her that God said, "You have not written your last devotion." And I told her, God said, "You haven't preached your last sermon." And I told her that God told her to fight. And I'm thankful that God honored that. So when I sit back here and watch my mother come up there, I know it is a gift from God.
Thank you, Jody. That was really sweet. It was a rough summer, but God is good indeed. God indeed. And so John called at 15 to 8, and he said, "Can you do about a 10-minute sermon?" I said, 10 minutes? He said, "Yeah, that's all you've got to do." Okay. Yeah. Okay. Is this good? Okay. Feel like I'm shouting, but I don't think I've ever talked to anybody shorter than 10 minutes before. So don't take that to heart. I'm just going to be a little bit longer. But I am blessed indeed. I'm blessed by my children who stood by me this past summer when I didn't remember a whole lot of stuff. From mid-June to late July, it's kind of a blank to me. Still, I remember things that from time to time that I didn't remember right after I came out of that. But the doctor said, you know, it was definitely a stroke. All the tests showed it, the scans and things, and then he had me come back. I think he noticed that I was better, and I was more aware of things and better. And so he ordered more tests, and he had me in to read the results. And he said, "Well, I know that you had a stroke." And I said, "Yeah, that's what you said." But when he told me I'd had a stroke, I told him, I said, "I can't have a stroke." And he said, "Why not?" I said, "I got a trip planned for September." He wondered where I was going. I told him, and he said, "You'll probably be better by then." So I said, "Okay, I'm planning on going on that trip." And I did. I had a ball. It was great. But when the results came back that time, he said, "It's the oddest thing. There's no evidence on this paperwork and these test results that you've ever had a stroke." He said, "But I've got the results from the other scan, which says you did." So I said, "Well, God healed me, and it's not the first time he's healed me." And so I'm a living testimony about God's healing power, and I'm so grateful for that. When he called me this morning, I'm thinking, what in the world? I've only had one other time that I was called last minute. It was my brother was supposed to preach at Ebenezer. He got real sick, and they got me out of Sunday school class 10 minutes before the Sunday school was over. and said, my nephew said, Papa wants to see you. And he told me, he said, you're going to have to preach today. I'm sick as a dog. I got to go home. And I said, really? And I said, what are you going to preach on? He said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I said, okay, I'll ad lib it. So that's the shortest notice I've ever had. It was like 10 minutes. But years ago, I've got a friend who is a preacher now. He used to be an evangelist for the North Georgia Conference, and he was one of the most, conservative people, preachers I know of, and a good preacher. When he starts off preaching, you think he's a Baptist, because he kind of preaches like a Baptist. Went to a retreat, and every year that retreat I was invited to, he was one of the preachers. They'd have a couple. They'd have a Baptist church, Baptist preacher, or just different, as long with a Methodist preacher. So he was preaching, and he was preaching on Jeremiah 18. And what I'm going to preach on is Jeremiah 18, verses 3 and 4. And this is where Jeremiah was sent to the potter's house. And the theme of James' sermon was, I'd rather stay on the potter's wheel than be cast aside into the potter's field. Because a potter, most of them know how to rework the clay. If it's spoiled, they add ingredients or whatever. The makeup changes. And so the potter's wheel, it's a tragedy, he said, to be thrown away in the potter's field. But I'll never forget that statement. I'd rather stay on the potter's wheel than be cast aside into the potter's field. And so I was thinking about that, and we had a little thing at a writer's conference, and I had to write something using not over two verses. I was thinking it was just one verse, but I remember James's sermon. I thought, you know, that's something that will probably be a good one to do, because I was intrigued by it. So the scripture, Jeremiah 18, verses 3 and 4, says, I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. This is the version of the Bible, is English Standard Version, which is written in the way we talk now, and I like that. A good friend of mine is a potter. Lives up in Gillsville, Georgia, outside of Gillsville. Her husband's a farmer, and they have I grew up on a farm, so I can always relate to Mary. She has a little pottery building out. She lives in what is called the Peckerwood community in Hall County. And some of you younger people have probably never heard woodpeckers called Peckerwoods. Did some of the older people call them Peckerwoods around here? If y'all heard that, I did growing up. You know, some of the older people, instead of calling them woodpeckers, called them Peckerwoods. So her pottery is in the Peckerwood community, and that's her. The name of the pottery is Peckerwood Pottery. She creates beauty while sitting at her wheel. Her hands are busily shaping the clay. Watching her is enjoyable, because she just can concentrate on saying what she's saying while she's molding the clay. And I'm amazed at the process. I have a few things that she's made for me. Occasionally she'll make me something, and yet I've got a utensil holder in my kitchen that she made, and I had a little dish, and I used it for a coaster. Well, I accidentally knocked it off onto the hardwood floor, and it broke. She made me another one, and I used that. Love her. Both of those have swirling shades of blue, which is my favorite color. And it's obvious that each piece was made with love. Love for her art and love for her creator. I asked Mary one time, I said, Mary, how do you know when you're finished with a piece? Because when I watched her, she would be busy working and molding, and all of a sudden she stops and it's done. I said, how do you know when you're finished with a piece? And she said, I just know. And she thought for a minute and she said, I know by the feel and the look. She said, you see, I have a plan for each piece. Before I ever start working with the clay, I envision what it's going to look like in my mind. And then God guides my hands. God has a plan for us just like Mary has plans for her pottery that she makes. Jeremiah, as we've studied, you know, for years, is known as the weeping prophet. And there's no wonder he's called that. His nation of Judah had abandoned God. The people were worshiping false gods. We've studied about Jeremiah in Sunday school here at Woodlawn. They were worshiping idols that had been made by human hands. And we know that's not God. They had completely abandoned God, most of the people had. They were following their own plans and acting out of the stubbornness of their own hearts. Oh, and the times I've done that myself. I never thought about it being abandoning to God, but we all, as human beings with a sin nature, we have a stubbornness about us. We don't think about praying about something sometimes. We think about, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm sure these people are no different. Jeremiah was called by God to preach repentance to those people. They were headstrong and rebellious, just like we can be. The messages that he delivered at the temple were not popular. They weren't well received. God spoke to the prophet and instructed him to go to the potter's house and observe the pottery that was in the process of being made. The potter was working and reworking the pottery, just like I could envision it, because I envisioned Mary at her wheel. As he observed the pottery being made and the potter at work, Jeremiah saw that the vessel he was making was spoiled. God wanted Jeremiah to see that the vessel represented the rebellious nation of Judah. He wanted him to also see that the potter didn't throw the pottery away just because it was a flawed vessel. The lesson that God wanted Jeremiah to learn was that he could remake Judah. God could remake Judah into a nation that God could use for his glory. Just as God had a plan for the nation of Judah, he's also got a plan for the United States of America, for Israel, for all of us individually. He has a plan for our lives. He's planned our lives before the beginning of time, I'm convinced. Before the creation, because he tells us that he knew us before we were in our mother's womb, which I think is just absolutely the neatest thing ever. So he made the plans for us way before we were born, probably, when he was planning us. That's love. That's amazing to me. He also has a plan for our lives, like I said, just like Jeremiah's. He doesn't cast us away. Just like that potter didn't cast away that whatever he was making. He redid it. He remade it. He doesn't cast us away. Once we accept God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, the key to staying on God's pottery wheel is to stay pliable where he can work with us so that we can consistently, as we go through life, consistently be shaped and made into who he wants us to be, who he wants us to become. The way we view ourselves is not the same way God views us. We may see ourselves as individuals of little worth. I know at times I've viewed myself that way. But he sees us as valuable. Isn't that incredible? I love that. He deemed us worth saving. He deemed us worth giving up his son, his only begotten son, to die for us, to take all of the punishment that we would have to pay for the sins that we've committed, for disobeying him. And sins can be sins of omission as well as commission. Anytime we walk away from what we know he wants us to do, that is not a good thing. That's not his will. If we follow his plan for our lives and follow his plan for the people around us, it works out so much better. I'm so glad that I accepted that gift that he gave me, and everybody else gave us a gift of salvation. And it's ours for the claiming. I say claiming, you know, all we have to do is repent. We do have to repent in order to be saved. But he loved us that much. And the Bible says that while he was in the tomb, you know, his spirit went down and to hell, basically. One of the versions of the old version of the Apostles' Creed talked about him descended into hell and whatever. But you know why he did that? I mean, he didn't deserve to go there. He was perfect. Everything in his life was perfect. He did it where we wouldn't have to go. Plain and simple. He didn't want us to go because he wanted us to follow his plan. I'm amazed by that. Some people may disagree with that take on it, but to me, the Bible is pretty clear. And it's the only way I can figure out why he would even go. But he wanted us saved so much to be with him forever and eternity. He did deem us worthy of sending his son to die. Now, we don't have to pay that price because Jesus has already paid it. Now, to me, that's the most incredible thing. God has great plans for us, just as he had great plans for the nation of Judah. You know, Jesus was born in Judah. That was part of his birth in upper Israel. Not only does God have good plans for us, he has the power to guide us and direct us down the path that he has laid out for us to walk. He works patiently with us, and he gently leads us in the right direction. God continues to shape us as we follow him and yield to his will. Milton, your praise just really hit the spot. I don't work anymore, except rights, and haven't done much of that lately. But you talk about we pray for our church families. Yes, absolutely. And I'm so thankful for y'all, for mine. But I remember the people that I've worked with in the past, some of the greatest people I'll ever know. Wonderful, God-loving people. And I still pray for those people. Some of them are not around anymore. But that's excellent advice. And it helps me remember, yes, I need to continue this and do it every day. God reworks our lives. There's no value in the clay itself. It's basically dirt. Well, I guess if you're a potter and you're buying it to work with, you know, it costs, you know, probably Lee would know, being an artist, but I guess it's maybe expensive. But when I was growing up, we had, and I bet y'all had whitewash in some of your creeks too, and people would whitewash the bottom of the trees. And I know Lumpkin Campground in Dawson County, they have trees on that campground was formed. They made that in the early 1800s, I believe, when that was formed. So they whitewashed those trees from about this far up where people wouldn't run into them, leaving the camp meeting in that building they used, going to their cabins, their tents, as they call them. And so that was why they did that. That's why you see these campgrounds a lot of times with a whitewash on there. But I remember going with a lady, one of the person that was my substitute grandmother. I had two grandmothers when I was born. One died when I was a year old, and the other one was killed. That one was killed in a car wreck when I was a year old, and the other one died when I was two. So I had a substitute grandmother down the road, and I love Miss Bessie Jones. She's one of the people I am just looking so forward to seeing in heaven. Such a godly woman. But I remember walking with her. She had a certain place in the creek, and it was on our property. Of course, she was welcome to anything we had, but she'd go get whitewash clay. And that's a memory I've got, but it's a good memory. But it's dirt, basically dirt. As a potter works with a clay, it can become something valuable or useful. That's why people were making pottery way back when, because they, they used it to cook with. They used it to do whatever. I guess they used it to cook with. I know they used it for plates and whatever. When the potter works with the clay, he makes something out of it that he knows if he's a professional potter and he is, that's how he makes his living, or she makes her living, then they can sell it for a good bit of money at times. And they can also use it. Makes great gifts. But sometimes that clay, though, spoils. And it doesn't yield to the potter's hand because of the composition, I understand. The clay has to be reworked by changing the composition. God's plan is sometimes spoiled by our not being willing to yield to him. When we are determined to do things our way, or when we are disobedient, we hinder his work in our lives. It is only when we allow ourselves to be pliable that God can change our composition from disobedience to obedience. Because that's in our hands. We can either be obedient to God or not obedient, and that's our choice. He would love for us all to be obedient. He would love for me to be obedient all the time to him. Sometimes we think life is unfair, that everything goes against us. It seems as though nothing goes right for us sometimes. Even when we're doing the so-called correct things, events can happen in our lives which make us lose hope, that make us feel that everybody is against us. When we're discouraged, it can be easy to blame God for whatever goes wrong, but he's not to blame. God wants only the best for us. We can be assured of this. He orders our circumstances in order to shape us and to grow us into someone who will bring honor to him. The Bible says he's a jealous God. We're to honor him and praise him and be who he's created us to be. Our lives are not ordered by chance or luck. There's a television series thing I like to watch called I can't remember the name of that show now, but they call themselves the Postables, and they solve lost mail and whatever. And the main character, and I have no idea what his name is in real life, but he likes to say, and he is portrayed as a Christian there, but he likes to say when somebody says, "Well, you're lucky," he says, "Luck is it's blessings." And he goes on, had several things to say about that, but I can't quote my favorite one right now. But God wants the best of us. And we can be assured of that, like I said. Our lives are being directed by Almighty God, not by luck or chance. He loves us with an everlasting love, and he will continue to love us with that love. And he wants us to love him like that. As time goes by, we can look back and see day-to-day occurrences. We can look back and see day-to-day lessons that we are living through. He's teaching us through our trials and adversities. He's got a plan. The lesson Jeremiah learned from the potter regarding the nation of Judah on that day, we can also learn in regard to ourselves. God can take our rebellions, unyielding life, and turn them into something beautiful, a life pleasing to him. Bow with me, please. Father God, thank you for the beautiful lesson you gave to the prophet Jeremiah so many years ago. What a wonderful gift you have given us by sending Jesus to die for our sins on the cross. Help us to stay on the potter's wheel, being consistently shaped into whoever you created us to be. Thank you for the gift of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.